going to read, first of all, one of the Psalms, the Book of Psalms, Psalm number 89, Book of Psalms, just about the middle of your Bible, Psalm 89. I just want to read there, just one very short statement, Psalm 89 and verse 47. Psalm 89, verse 47. Says the psalmist, remember how short my time is. Remember how short my time, that is my lifetime, is. Then across to Galatians and chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4, and we want to read there at verse 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says the word of God, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption or the position of sons. And then finally in 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6, 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6, I'm reading there at verse 2, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, for he saith, that is, God saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God will bless this reading of his word this evening. You may have noticed that in our readings from the Bible this evening, we have been thinking about the subject of time. We read together in Psalm 18 the prayer of the psalmist as he says to God, remember how short my lifetime is. And there we are faced with the solemn matter of the shortness of time. That is the shortness of one's lifetime. And then we read together in Galatians in chapter 4, not so much there about the shortness of time, but about the fullness of time. And says the word of God, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The fullness of the time. Then we read together in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, not so much about the shortness of time or the fullness of the time, but the acceptable time. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Just to think for a few moments about the solemn matter of the shortness of time. That is the shortness of one's lifetime. Well, you know, dear friend, supposing you live till you're over 100. And they tell us tonight that there's more centenarians in the country than there's ever been. There are more people living over 100. But you know, supposing you live until you're 100, or even over 100, you will discover that your lifetime has been very, very short. We were thinking the other night about that, when James asked the question to people that were planning for the future without bringing God into their plans. And they had plans for next year. And James has to remind them, "Thou knowest not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away." You know, your lifetime is just like the morning mist that hangs over the river. And then an hour or so later, it's gone. Friend, we're not here for long. And you know, however short or however long your lifetime may be, the important thing is that during your lifetime, you get to know God. That's why God has brought you into this world. It's not that you might just exist and eventually die. My dear friend, the reason why God has brought you into time is that you might come to know Him through faith in Jesus Christ, that you might come into the blessing of God's salvation. That is the big thing. That is the important thing in life. It's not to get a name for yourself. It's not to acquire wealth. Tonight, that is the ambition of so many in our society. The ambition is to acquire wealth, material possessions, the love of money. It grips our nation. It's the root of every kind of evil. It leads men to do almost anything to gain it. And yet, dear friend, there's one thing certain. We come into this world with nothing, and you'll go out with nothing. So supposing you do acquire to yourself tremendous wealth, there'll come a day when you'll have to leave it all. There was a man once asked another man the question concerning a certain wealthy person in the community who had just died. And he asked the question, how much did he leave? And the answer was given, he left it all. He left it all, my friend. No pockets in your shroud. Earth's currency is of no value when you leave this world and pass out into eternity. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin's the cause. And Christ the cure. Down in England, I think it's in Gloucestershire, there is a village, a little village. And in that village there stands an ancient clock just beside the roadside. Countless millions have passed by, travellers over the centuries of time have passed by that old clock. And if they just stopped, they would have read these words on the clock. It says this, time is on the wing. How swift he flies away, hastening to sink in one eternal day. Pause, passing traveller. What thy destiny, when death unfolds a vast eternity? Live then to Christ, in Christ's eternal gain. No Christ, no hope, but everlasting pain. Pause, passing traveller. Friend, we're all travellers tonight. We're all travelling on the road of time. We're all travelling to a destination. One of two destinations. The Lord Jesus Christ one day, he said this. He said, broad is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that are on it. But he says, but narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. and few there be that find it. Wonder friend, what road are you on tonight? Are you still on the broad road? Because that's where we all begin. We all begin life on the broad road. The broad road that leads down to eternal ruin. We all begin in that road, but thank God you don't need to end your life in that road. You can get from the broad road to the narrow road tonight. There is a gate from the broad road to the narrow road. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. Thank God tonight, you can change roads, you can change direction, you can change destiny, friend. Your destiny can be changed tonight. Your destination is either heaven or hell. And if you're on the road to hell tonight, thank God you can get on the road to heaven. And if you want to get onto the road to heaven, if you want to know the way to heaven, Jesus said, I am the way. Not religion. But a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I wonder, friend, have you found the way? Have you found Christ? Have you come to Christ? In the little life that you've lived, in the time you've been given, and have you used that time? Have you come to Christ? Friend, that's the most important thing in life, is to come to Christ, to get salvation, to put your trust in the Savior, friend. It's the most important thing. Nothing else, all other things are significant and irrelevant. In the light of the great eternity, this is the important thing. Friend, you're going out to eternity. Don't miss salvation. Don't delay. So many tonight, they know they need to be saved, but they keep putting it off and putting it off. The old preachers used to say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. There are many in hell tonight who once sat in gospel meetings like this and they vowed that someday they would get saved, but not tonight. You see, they kept putting it off and putting it off until it was too late. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Almost is but to fail. Almost the bitter wail. Almost but lost. I remember preaching the gospel many years ago up in a community just south of Aberdeen called Port Lethem. I was visiting around the homes, inviting the people to come. I came to an old gentleman's house, a pensioner's house, knocked on the door, an old man came to the door, he invited me in. Old Mr. Leeper was his name. Sat down beside the fire with him. And he told me his story, his life story. Sometimes old people do that. They go back over their life, you know. And you know, you have to learn to be patient. Those of you that want to win souls, you have to be wise. Listen. And I sat there for about half an hour, just waiting for an opportunity just to tell this old man about the Savior. Just to get an opening. And I waited patiently and listened to him. He told me about an incident that happened when he was a boy of 10. He lived in the little village just down from Port Lethem on the coast. It's called the Downies Village. You can go and visit there, and you know that they had a little natural, that is still there to this day, a little natural harbour. Not made with men, but made from rocks. And it was into that harbour that the little fishing boats came at night. And there they safely anchored in a little harbour. He said, one stormy day, he said, I'll never forget it. His eyes filled up, tears running down his cheeks. He said, just a little boy of 10, says we were at the school. He said the storm was raging. And he said the news came to the school that the boats were returning. Some of their daddies were in these boats. And the children, they ran out of school. Disobedience, but they ran out of school. And they ran to the top of the cliff and they looked down. And all the village people were gathered. And they watched the little boats, one by one, gaining the safety of the harbour. Till there was only one left. Three brothers, young men. And just as they were about to enter, they were almost there, just the entry to the harbour, he said. He said a great breaker came over the rocks, a tremendous wave, and it just came down. And it just sunk that little boat. He says, tears flowing down his cheeks, he says, I can see it as clear now as I saw it then, he says. I can see these three young men, their yellow oilskins, struggling beneath the surface of the water, entangled in their lines, unable to get to the surface. He said, the three of them drowned. He said, you know, they were almost there. They were just almost safe. And they perished at the mouth of the harbour. I said, Mr. Leeper. I said, there's many a sinner done that. Almost persuaded to put their trust in Christ, almost saved, almost trusting Christ, and yet they perished. They turned away. My dear friend, don't make that mistake. Perhaps the Lord's been speaking to you. Perhaps tonight you're beginning to realize that you have a need, that you need salvation, you need the forgiveness of sins. And you've learned in these meetings that there's a Saviour for you, thank God. There's a Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who died for you and who rose again. And he's alive and he's able and willing to save you. And the gospel's telling you to turn to Christ, to put your trust in him, to seek salvation in him. And maybe you're almost there. Maybe you're almost persuaded. But almost is not enough. Almost is but to fail. It's not enough to be almost there, my friend. As a man once said to the Apostle Paul after they heard him giving his testimony, King Agrippa, he says, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Says Paul, I would that you were altogether persuaded. Friend, it's not enough to say almost, almost thou persuadest me. Friend, we want you to be altogether persuaded. We want you tonight to put your trust in Jesus Christ and to receive his great salvation. Friend, this is what life is all about. Life will be meaningless and empty until you come to Christ. It's only when you get saved that you discover the purpose in life. Up until then, there's no real purpose. You may think there is, but there's no real purpose. Friend, you're only existing. You'll never begin to live until you come to Christ. You'll never begin to live until you get salvation. I know from experience. I thought I was living before I could say it. I was only existing. I only began to live the night I came to Christ. Then 47 years ago, and I can testify tonight, and sweeter as the days go by. Time is passing, every tick of the clock brings you nearer eternity. Think about it, every second. Someday it'll be your last. And when that day comes, you can't retain your spirit in the day of death. You're powerless to delay that moment. Queen Elizabeth I of England, the wealthiest woman at that time in the world, as she was lying in her deathbed, about to leave this world, you know what her last cry was? I'll give millions for a moment longer. And that was her last words. She died and went out into eternity. All her millions couldn't buy her a moment longer. My dear friend, You cannot delay that moment. You cannot delay that hour when you leave this world. It might be tonight. Oh, you say, surely not. Ah, but it might be. None of us know. None of us can tell. Every passing moment, friend, is bringing you nearer that terminus. And you'll have to get out. You'll have to get off. A dear friend of mine over in Fort William, Phil Kennedy, his wife Anne, was saved in a meeting just like this one night, up in Cullen. You know what finally spoke to Anne as she heard the gospel, and the preacher impressing upon her the brevity of life, the need of salvation? You see, it was the tick of the old clock. An old clock in the hall, tick, 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 tick. And she was sitting, listening, tick, 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 till it burned into her soul that every tick of the clock was bringing her nearer and nearer to eternity, and less opportunity to get salvation as every second passed. And that night, listening to the tick of the clock, she says, "It's Christ for me." And she turned to Christ that night and was wonderfully saved. She's gone on to prove it over these past 20 years. Listen, my friend, tonight, lay hold of this second. Lay hold of this moment. Make it the moment of your decision, the moment of your salvation, the accepted time. As I want to tell you tonight, there's a Saviour for you. You know, what a moment when the Son of God was born into this world. Such a tremendous moment that it's divided time into BC and AD. The fullness of the time was come. He came just at the right moment. He came according to the plan of heaven. It was planned before time began. The birth of Jesus Christ. And says Paul, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Over a moment when God sent forth his beloved Son into the world. What a moment when Jesus Christ was born into this world. When the Son of God took to himself humanity, made of a woman, his humanity was real and genuine. He became a true man, born of a woman. His mother Mary, a virgin maid, she conceived of the Holy Spirit. A unique, miraculous conception. There never was and never shall be another. And at that moment, a tremendous miracle took place. In the history of this world, the Son of God took to himself humanity, conceived in the womb of the Virgin, and 9 months later was born into this world. What a great mystery. God manifested in flesh. And why did God send his Son? He sent him to redeem the lost. He himself needed no redemption. He was made born under the law. That was the circumstances in which he grew up in this world. Under the demands of the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and he's the only man that ever kept them. He magnified the law and he made it honorable. The Bible says he did no sin. He knew no sin. And in him there is no sin. He was a sinless, perfect man. He was the only one over whom death had no claim. Death has a claim on you tonight. Death has a claim on me tonight. Because we've inherited from Adam, the first man who sinned, we've inherited from him that same sinful nature. Jesus Christ never had that sinful nature. Oh, he was a true man, but he never had a sinful nature. Death had no claims upon him. He was the only man who had the right to live. And yet he came into the world to die. Oh, says the apostle, he came to redeem. You know what it is to redeem? It means to buy something, purchase something back at a price. It means to liberate something that's been held in bondage by another. It's to pay the price to set it free. And I remember as a boy, Glasgow used to be full of pawn shops. You know, you saw the three brass balls about outside the shop, you know, and folks were ever going in and out, carrying things in, pawning it. And then depending on how much it was worth, you know, they got so much money in loan. And then they got a wee ticket, a pawn ticket. Now that pawn ticket entitled them to redeem that article back again. They had the right to do it. No one else could go in and buy it. They had the right to redeem that. And so they might on a Friday night when money was short, or a Monday rather, when money was short, they'd spend it over the weekend. And the Monday, when money was short, they would maybe take their suit or take the old clock and take it in, and they would get so much, you see them through the week, they got their pay, and then they got their pay on a Friday, they might go in again with a ticket, and they pay the price and get it back again. They redeemed it. During the week, it was held by another. He had rights over it. He didn't own it, but he had rights over it. And you know, the old devil, he holds humanity in bondage tonight. And men are in slavery tonight. And they don't know it. They're in slavery to the power of sin and the power of Satan. And they can't free themselves. Ah, but the one that was born at Bethlehem, he had the right to redeem them. Because he himself became truly human, a real man. And he had the right because he's the great creator. And the earth was his. And it was lost in a sense when man sinned in the Garden of Eden. Man lost what was rightfully his, but he was one that had come back to redeem. Not with gold nor silver. Understand tonight, dear friend, it necessitated the death of Jesus Christ before one sinner could ever be redeemed. The precious blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed on Calvary's cross. You know, we read about the nation of Israel in the Old Testament and how that for centuries they were held in bondage by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And they became his slaves. They were God's covenant people. But Pharaoh held them in captivity and refused to let them go. And so God sent plague after plague upon the land of Egypt. And still Pharaoh refused. He hardened his heart, refused to let these people go. And eventually God sent the tenth and the final plague, the death of the firstborn of men and cattle in the land of Egypt. On a certain night, the angel of death would go through the land of Egypt. And all the firstborn sons would die. And you know, God said to his people, he told Moses to tell the Israelites that every household must take a lamb. And from the 10th to the 14th day of the month, they must keep that lamb and examine it and scrutinize it to make sure it's perfect. Nothing wrong with it. No disease in it. Had to be a perfect, complete lamb. And then God says, on the 14th day of the month at even, you'll sacrifice the lamb, you'll slay the lamb, and you'll gather its blood in a basin, and you'll take some hyssop. You know, he didn't say they had to take some unique, exotic plant growing up on the top of Mount Everest, difficult to get. No, no, oh no, God makes it very easy for the sinner. He says, just take some hyssop. You know, it grew everywhere. grew out of the walls, grew by the side of the roads, easily obtained. And so they took the hyssop and they had to dip it in the blood and they had to sprinkle it on the doorposts and lintels of their houses. For God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's what they did. And in the night when the angel of death came, he was powerless to enter the homes that were sheltered by the blood. And all the eldest sons of Israel were saved. They were preserved that night. And all the firstborn sons of Egypt, they all perished. They all died that night. Why was that? Because they weren't sheltered by the blood. My dear friend, I wonder, are you sheltered by the blood tonight? By the blood of the Lord Jesus? Are you trusting Christ for salvation? I thank God tonight I'm sheltered by the blood, the precious blood of the Savior. And I'm eternally saved because he's redeemed me. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Friend, it's a great thing to be redeemed. Thank God I'm not in the old devil's pawn shop anymore. Thank God I've been delivered. Christ paid the price. Satan's powerless. Christ has defeated him. When he rose from the dead. How says the Bible, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that is the Son of God, likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him, render him powerless. He that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, who through fear of death were all the lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, thank God tonight the old devil's been defeated. The Lord Jesus has triumphed over him. The ancient serpent's head's been crushed. Aye, my Saviour's heel was bruised. Christ suffered on the cross. But when he rose from the dead, I tell you this, the old devil was rendered powerless. Far as death is concerned, and hell is concerned, the keys are in the property of Jesus Christ. He has the keys of death and hell. Christ has triumphed. Dear friend tonight, you need to be redeemed. That's why Christ came. He came to redeem. He came to deliver men and women from their sins, from the penalty and the power of their sin. The penalty of sin, eternal judgment, eternal separation from God. That's what Christ came to save you from. And sin's power, and Satan's power. And tonight, you can be redeemed. You can be delivered because the precious blood has been shed. The work is done. Christ is risen. Death is vanquished. Tell it with joy, ye faithful. Where is now thy victory boasting grave? Jesus lives. No longer thy portals are cheerless. Jesus lives, the mighty and strong to save. Friend, he's able to redeem. You know something? You know, you can get saved tonight. You can get saved now. There's a Saviour for you. Undeserving though we are. Oh, you say, but preacher, you don't know the things I've done, the things I've said in my lifetime. I don't want to, because the Lord knows them all anyway. But he's ready to forgive you tonight. He's ready to redeem. He's ready to save. If you're prepared to believe God's word tonight, you prepare to accept Christ now as your Saviour. Remember, time is passing. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't put the matter off until it's too late. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Listen, God has given you this moment. Take it. Seize on it. You might never get another. Time was. It's past. you cannot yet recall. Time is, you have. Employ the portion small. Time future is not and may never be. Time present is the only time for thee. Time present. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Will you take it? Will you seize upon it? And say, 8:30, November the 29th, I was redeemed.
Amen.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. May that be so, for his name's sake, shall we pray. O our God, our hearts have again rejoiced tonight as we thought of the love of Christ, our Saviour, the one that was manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, the one that was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And tonight we rejoice that Jesus Christ is alive from amongst the dead. And we long that every person in this meeting tonight might put their trust in him and experience redemption through his precious blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast promised this to all those who believe in him. Lord, bless thy work tonight. Quicken souls as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now our meeting is over and we're going to just sing in closing a hymn number 260, Where Will You Spend Eternity? This question comes to you and to me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Number 260, and we'll sing verses 2 and 4, remaining seated, of 260.
Many are choosing Christ today.
Joyous answer me.